I think I'm hot. We're about a minute out, and just wanted to say thank you all so much for coming out. This is, in fact, while it may seem shocking to believe, the final day of Ignite. And you all made it out for the last day of sessions, and for that, you should be very proud. Because it's not easy to do so. This has been it's been a fantastic week for myself and my team, my colleagues, and really appreciate you all being here. My name is Jamie Stark. I look after voice interop and networking for Skype for Business in the marketing organization. I'm joined by Tamer Hussein, sitting up here in the front row. And we're gonna talk through a slightly different type of session. This is one that is percolating in my head for the last couple months about meeting the needs of your users with Skype for Business. And it's about a different way to think through how to prosecute growing your deployment in the cloud. Particularly with a focus around telephony and focus on cloud PBX. We're not gonna be talking about features as much. We're gonna be talking about your users, and we're gonna be talking about how to think through those users and think through your deployment and how that can grow using some fairly novel research. So with that, because this is a slightly different session, I am even more so asking, I always like starting off with this, for your feedback. Feedback's super important. I have the privilege of going through our curriculum and working with speakers and kind of thinking about the different topics that we cover. And so if this is something that you never ever want to see again, you absolutely have the opportunity to make your voice heard by providing feedback. And because you are all here sitting in these seats on Friday after the party, I know that you deeply care. So please don't hesitate to give us this feedback, not only about this session and all the Skype for Business sessions that you've been to, but as well at Ignite broadly. It really does matter to us. Where I'd like to start is this concept of the value chain, where an enterprise, if you kind of think about the totality of an enterprise and what we do in business, you could define it in this concept of a value chain. This is not my invention. This is something fairly standard in academic research. The concept of how we define everything from the mission of the business. I'm going to go and manufacture a widget, and I'm going to go sell it in these countries. The processes to do so. How we're going to move across each stage from design to manufacture to marketing, et cetera, and the workflows that implement that. And I picked out these pictures specifically because I feel like in each one of these cases, we have three different industries and three different types of people who are performing their role in the value chain. We've got an example here of a physician. So the value chain of providing healthcare and making people better and improving outcomes in healthcare. This is a physician. I look at this person as somebody who's producing health, who is producing better outcomes in patients. Now, there's obviously lots of other roles in hospitals that are really important to the delivery of this doctor actually being there and being able to assist a user, and here in this case, this physician's using a tablet to be able to accomplish the communications needs, or the record recording needs, or the prescription needs of the individuals that this person's treating. Got some folks here in the center doing some research and development. Again, of course, shockingly, using Microsoft products to do so. It's really amazing how we are so applicable across all these different industries. But in a lab, working to create some products. Folks on the right, I think of them as doing support. So we have some folks in the organization, designing the airplane, building out the airplane, delivering the airplane, and now here are some folks that are supporting that, who are using communications tools and using technology in order to support that. And at every step along the path, I make this state that, hey, every person who's involved in this value chain is going to use communications at some point in order to fulfill their roles in the value chain. And one way to think about the value chain, to break it up, is here, starting in the upper left. First, you've got to build the thing. So there's research and development and product management to go and create the thing. And then goofballs like me go and think about ways to explain it to people in marketing. And you know, maybe put some ads out, maybe explain the value propositions. Then we have folks that go out and actually and do selling and help customers understand a little bit more in detail the value proposition, how it affects their business. That may be from an account perspective, that may be in a retail perspective. Obviously, you have to deliver the thing, so there's logistics and operations involved. I gotta make sure that there's support, so I have field and customer services and support staff that are engaged, maybe in call centers to be able to handle customer questions. And then, of course, there's kind of overall management facilities. You gotta have folks in accounts payable and accounts receivable, and then executives to make sure that we're all being held accountable and all doing the right thing. But you can think about that this is a very common rubric to think about the activities of your business from end to end. It is a very common rubric to think about the activities of your business from end to end. And one of the things that, as you think about the activities within each one of these steps, and then the activities as they cross these boundaries, as we move from product management into marketing, as we move from marketing into sales, as we move from sales into delivery and service, there are definite opportunities for communications workflows to happen, both within and across these different steps. And one of the ways that you can think about the requirements for communications is to group users together by their needs for each step in the value chain. And I'm using the term here, usage profiles. And it's not complicated, it's just a way that we can think about grouping users together and kind of summarizing what are their patterns of communication, what are the ways that they are communicating within the business, what are the requirements for the technology in order to fulfill that communication. Generally, folks in a given usage profile have the same types of business processes and have the same types of needs for communications technology. And one of the things that you'll find actually is that there's a shockingly small number of communications profiles across the value chain and across different industries. And we'll talk about that in a second. One of the things that's kind of cool is that this is a way to think through how to deploy communication services that I think is different from what we've done in the past. Of thinking about, oh, I've got a whole bunch of branch offices, and the branch offices are the ones that I'm going to want to flip over first. Or I'm going to go and flip over a random assortment of users and try to see which ones a communications technology, best fits. Sometimes that's a choice, and sometimes that's just by the way the business operates. If we're not prescriptive in the way that we're applying technology, then it can be a random thing. Or we can say, hey, in IT, we're gonna play with this thing first. We're gonna see if it makes sense, and then we'll roll it out to the rest of the organization. And I think cloud really does fundamentally make this a different proposition, because we're not no longer tied to the chains of data centers and physical infrastructure in many, many cases. Now we have an opportunity to think differently and to start over from scratch in the way that we plan out technology rollouts. And we have an opportunity to have a goal being a very, very quick return on investment. And this isn't just something that we kind of cooked up. As I was reviewing some associated research, I came across this quote from Gartner. Now, this isn't applied to Skype for Business. In fact, you can see the citation here on the report. If you are a subscriber of Gartner, if you're one of their clients, you can go and you can download this. This was actually talking about Delve and Office Graph and Office 365 groups, but the message is the same. focus on how people are collaborating. Don't just think about the tool. Don't just think about the feature. Don't just think about I'm replacing one phone with another phone. Instead, invest resources in analyzing the employee work patterns. So Gartner is talking about work patterns, and I'm using the term usage profiles here. Same idea. Create use cases that connect to Office 365 application scenarios. And Gartner further goes on and says, you know, what's the business goal that you're looking to do in order to roll out these communication services? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to introduce the specific usage profiles. I'm going to talk about how they apply across the value chain and across different verticals. We're going to look at that a little bit. I'm going to dive into a couple of the usage profiles in some detail, talk about some that are really well applied to Cloud PBX and Skype for Business, some that are not. And then Tambor's going to come up and he's going to talk through some cases where we've actually applied this methodology specifically with customers and kind of talk about how this is different and what some of their results are. Now I mentioned there's a shockingly few number. I was really surprised when I saw. Now while you may count and say, well, come on, dumb marketing guy, can you count? There's 9 of them up here. That bottom one, universal communication support for all employees. We make a statement that everybody should have access to basic messaging. Everybody should have access to meetings. Everybody should have a kind of fundamental set of communications technologies. But apart from that, we can see that there are groups of users who have requirements for communications technologies that we can bundle together and we can think about regardless of vertical, but where they fall in the value chain of your business. That pie chart on the right, that's from a study that was done in the U.S. Department of Labor. So this is a U.S. focused, you're looking at the entire workforce. If you look at the entire U.S. workforce, how many folks are involved in contact center in the country? About 1.6% of our workforce sits in a contact center. About 7.1% are collaborators. I'm a collaborator. I work in marketing. We'll talk about the stuff that we do. And about 50%, a little under 50%, are production. Production being, they build the thing that your business is producing. So they are the mechanic. They are working in the auto repair shop. They're the doctor in the hospital. They're the software engineer who's writing the new version of Skype for Business. They're the producers. And in some cases, we may think, well, it seems a little weird to have a doctor be a producer, but they're actually producing the value that the rest of the business is often selling. Couple others here. I touched on contact center. We're probably all familiar with this. Field, folks that are out mobile, supporting customers, maybe in sales or maybe in service. Folks that are working in retail, they're going to have a very different set of communications requirements because they're directly involved with customers, but they're doing so in a structured fashion within a business or within a retail establishment. Information processing, accounts payable and accounts receivable. Production, administration, executives. But what's interesting is that I can come up with these through the union of two lists. The first being that list of the value chain that we talked about. So I take the list of the value chain and I marry that up with a list of vertical industries. And you can kind of, we can argue a little bit on what the right list of vertical industries is. We feel like this is pretty comprehensive. And so what I can do is I can take the value chain across the top, and we can kind of think about it from a research and development and production and creating stuff through marketing and selling and the logistics of getting it to a customer and the support folks that'll answer their questions. and the customer service representatives who can handle billing, and the executives to make sure that we're doing our jobs right. I can put that across the top, and then I can list verticals, and then the intersection of those two things really defines the usage profile for communications. So I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna set that up. The company's industry on one axis and the user's position on the company's value chain on the other axis. Now this is a fantastic eye chart because there's just a ton of detail here. So here at the top, here's the value chain, left to right, build the thing, sell the thing, support the thing, and the kind of associated business services along with that in a company. And then down on the left axis, all the different verticals. So this is how it breaks out. I'm gonna spend a little time on this, so you have a couple minutes to take the pictures. Generally, folks that are in research and development and product management, they, along with their colleagues in marketing, all have the same types of requirements for communications. They all fall into this collaboration, on-site, mobile, this dark blue. And we'll talk specifically about that particular work style, because it has a lot of great utility with Cloud PBX. Cloud PBX really satisfies that usage profile very well. Customer service, there on the right, third column over from the right. And in some retail sales for verticals like utilities and education and healthcare, arts, entertainment, transportation, all of those fall into a contact center, meaning there are going to be some verticals, like in distribution, where they're not have a contact center. Their retail sales and service is a retail model, as a counter or a clerk. But for utilities, transportation, education, they're generally operating in a contact center. Customer service, almost always operating in a contact center. And by mapping this out, what we found is that the requirements for customers generally aren't so diverse. And now the opportunity to you is to think about your business, think about the vertical that you're in, and look across that value chain and see the different types of communication services that are necessary for your business. In some cases, some of these are mixed, depending upon the requirements of the particular field. I'm looking at the intersection of professional services and operations. Some of those cases, some of those folks are out in the field. Some of those folks have a requirement to be very mobile. Some of those folks have a requirement to be doing their communications all through mobile devices and wireless. And that's fundamentally different from cases where instead they're operating out of a central office. Now, of course, executives, we all know that they have their own particular requirements. No surprise there. And the executives, they need to have boardrooms, they need to have teleconferencing equipment with fancy video, they need to be able to move between meetings very quickly. Each one of these usage profiles that I talk about here, each one of these different colors that's down below, we've got an incredibly detailed slide about that goes through how to think about their core requirements, how to differentiate them versus other usage profiles, what their specific communications needs are, how that has been in the past, and how that's changing in the future. There's a lot of material in this presentation, so I really recommend everybody download it. And they're the hidden slides that are in a special section called Detailed Usage Profiles. The deck will probably be up for those of you that are here live in the audience. The deck will probably be up in about 24 hours. And what we're going to do now is talk through two of these usage profiles with some of that detail. But know that all of these are covered in this presentation. We just didn't have the time to go through them in all in depth. So I picked two to kind of showcase, in one case, great utilization for Cloud PBX, and another where clearly it doesn't fit today. So the one that I'm going to talk about is the collaboration profile. So if you remember in that chart, who are the folks that are collaborators? Folks that are doing production and R&D, folks that are in marketing. So this is me. What are we doing? We're doing a lot of project-centered teamwork. What are the things about this profile that are the key defining elements of it? How do you know that when I'm talking about a particular group of users, I'm talking about collaborators? They're working on a lot of creative documents. I build PowerPoint presentations. I write white papers. I do battle cards for our field, for Compete. I work with external people like Marty Parker from Unicom Consulting, who did the primary research on this. I have interactions with contractors to do project work. There are contractors who are the workhorse from behind the scenes of Ignite, for example. I was working with them a ton in setting up everything from the booth to the way that our presentations were organized. We have lots of different project workspaces. We do one-on-one and ad hoc meetings. How am I judged? I gotta get my stuff done. It's gotta be good. One of the ways you can hold us accountable on quality, of course, is to submit your feedback. What are the results? I'm not super happy with travel, but I travel. And when I do travel, goodness gracious, of course I expect that everything works when I'm on the road, because I need to be able to continue all of these processes regardless of where I am. So what are my, specifically with regards to communications, lots of tablets, lots of smartphones. Sometimes those are company provided devices. We're fortunate those get reimbursed on our usage because we're doing company work constantly on these devices. Primarily use email. Goodness gracious, Microsoft is a tremendous example of this. We are a huge email culture. Lots of communication and meetings and instant messaging. And many times a variety of meetings tools where we have meetings tools externally facing and internally facing. Of course, with Skype for Business, we like to bring all those in a single set of capabilities for end users. Diverse use of project and workspaces. Many times because we're out collaborating with others, and so sometimes I'm working with other people's project workspaces. I'm presenting in other scenarios, or I'm collaborating with third parties that have their own tools as well. And what are my requirements for voice and telephony? Well, of course, you need to be able to call me. I gotta have access to the public switch phone network. I need to make sure that my mobile device has all the features I need. It's gotta be secure because I'm out and about. Need to have call logs so that way I can go and find out, oh, I forgot who I was talking to yesterday about this particular issue. Let me look at the call log, so there it is. And this usage profile is incredibly well suited for Cloud PBX. Really, really well suited. And this is one of the things that we've continually come back to, that Cloud PBX has all of the capabilities required for your highly collaborative users. And based on that chart, you can see who the highly collaborative users are in your business. They may be distributed physically around your locations. And they may not be all clustered together. But you can look at, based on where they are in the value chain and what your business is, what vertical it is, who these folks are. And these people are great for doing Cloud PBX. Let's talk about the contact center. Representatives serving queues of customer requests. They're not, they're reaching out in many cases to customers. They could be in outbound, but a lot of times they're managing customer requests that are queued up for them. Primarily it's around voice, but we're seeing that really heavily shifting to multiple forms of media. So you have chat and social and video and calling. And we got to think about, you know, if somebody is making an email request in German, while somebody may speak German, maybe they don't write German very well. And so I have to have three different dimensions of routing in my contact center. We can do outbound for marketing, inside sales, collections. Metrics very heavily focused on time to resolution and measured by monitoring packages for supervisors. Lots of ancillary tools, super, super integrated types of communications requirements. Very tightly integrated with outbound calling, quality monitoring, workflow management. They have a desk phone, they have a headset. They're not placing calls. Calls are just being delivered to them, and they're switching between them as fast as they can. Tightly integrated with the CRM application. Sometimes they're doing email and IM. There are back-end processes that they need to fulfill on behalf of customers. And then sometimes knowledge base applications as well to make sure that they're saying the right things and they're providing the right information out to their callers. And so then what are their key voice and telephony requirements for this usage profile? Lots of queue management, lots of quality management, supervisors to be able to monitor and train, heavy into the metrics of performance for that user, whether it's calling or whether it's how quickly they're prosecuting through calls. Usually the management's fairly risk averse because there's not a lot to be gained in a lot of cases by messing with this. If you go and you do a whole bunch of innovation in the contact center, you may upset a lot of your customers who are just trying to get their account balance on the phone or just trying to fix a problem that you've created elsewhere in your business that the contact center is trying to dig your way out of. Cloud PBX doesn't offer these capabilities. And it's our strategy that we will be working with partners to operate on top of Office 365 and on top of Skype for Business Online for these capabilities. It's our goal to enable all the contact center software vendors in the world to be able to operate with Office 365 and Skype for Business Online. We do this today in the server. This is something we're building out in the service. So from a deployment perspective, this is not the place to start. And in some cases, it may feel like it's a natural, oh, it's super compacted. It's all kind of ready to roll. It's very defined. But this isn't the best place to start with the deployment for Cloud PBX. Instead, there are other usage profiles that are super well suited for what we're doing today. And then those, as we expand the capabilities, as we expand the offerings, you can expand the deployment size to include these additional profiles. So we've been doing this out in the field. We've been doing this with customers through our services. And Tamer's gonna come up now and talk through two examples where we've had really prescriptive cases where we've been able to take customers through this. So Tamer.
Thanks, Jamie. Super interesting stuff about how we're doing it. For me, I talk with a lot of customers, try to help them figure out what their strategy is on moving to the cloud and how to enable more workloads in their current deployment. So I'll talk through a couple of scenarios that we pointed out. There's a bunch of different things. These are just a couple of representative ones that I recently worked with, and Jamie and I thought these would be good to talk about. So this was a customer that had an interesting environment, right? They had some investment in an existing IP telephony environment. So they had been buying IP telephony handsets and a centralized call control infrastructure from a different vendor for a while. So they had about 35 to 40% deployed IP phones within their organization. This is a large organization, by the way, 25,000 users plus. And so they had, 35 to 40% of their organizations, of their organization had been deployed with IP phones. And the way that traditionally telephony gets deployed is you kind of do site cutovers, right? So you take a particular site and you identify that either that legacy PBX is going to be phased out, maybe it's end of life, end of support, or the contract on that PBX is ending. So you replace that with a IP telephony system for that particular site. So all the users within that site get a like-for-like handset-for-handset replacement going to IP. So that's kind of traditionally how people have done telephony migrations. And they were no different, right? They had done a site-by-site migration from TDM to or legacy PBX to IPT. But while they were going through this transition, and obviously that's a journey as well, right? Nobody takes all 25,000 or 30,000 users and migrates them all at once, right? It's usually site by site. It usually takes years to be able to do that. And so in the middle of this transition, they had an initiative to drive to UC. So they wanted to sort of do a little bit more than just telephony, right? They didn't want to do this like-for-like replacement anymore. They wanted to move to a unified communications platform. So we went in there and we started to talk to them a little bit about how they could do this. Now, one of the challenges is that they've made this investment for some of their organization already, and handsets can be really, really, really expensive. They're probably the most expensive single-use device that you can think of, right? It's a phone. It provides dial tone, similar to what phones have provided for 30, 40 years. To be able to sort of tell the customer that now you don't need these phones is a tough conversation to have. So we want to make sure that they can still leverage the investment that they have, but also drive the initiative forward that they want. So the thing about what we want to talk about here is exactly what Jamie was mentioning earlier. We need to profile the users within that organization and find out which ones really need this single-use device, and then which ones can benefit from a full unified communication platform and realize those productivity benefits, right? So we have this sort of classification that we usually do around knowledge workers, information workers, and task workers, right? And so I'm not going to try to map that to what Jamie's matrix was, but if you think about how, that's a very, very detailed categorization of those three main categories, right? And so the way we do it is we say knowledge workers and information workers are best suited to have a unified communications platform to be able to use for their productivity, right? I think myself and Jamie, we classify ourselves as knowledge workers. We have some knowledge, perhaps, and we're able to be productive with that. So essentially what we talk to those people about is, let's say you have a site, and within that site you have all three classifications of those users, right? And right now they've got all IP telephony. So let's redistribute a little bit, right? Let's give the knowledge and information workers UC with Skype for Business, and the task workers, let's let them keep that phone, right? Because that may be that one device that they need for that one particular use case, or maybe it's a common area where you only need a voice endpoint for some purposes. So let's do that redistribution within that site versus site by site. And that kind of brings in an interesting thing, and I'll show you an image or a visual representation of what that looks like. So now we'll have these two environments, right? We'll have the Skype for Business environment for our knowledge and information workers, and we'll have the IP telephony environment for your task workers and common areas and so on. And we'll be able to do interoperability with both of them using Cloud Connector Edition for those of you who haven't, for those of you who know what that means in terms of providing that capability to the cloud. So this is kind of what they look like, right? And if you see, traditionally, IPT site, legacy PBX sites, in the process of migrating all of their telephony environment, right? And so what we talked about is sort of redistributing these particular handsets, because it's really about the handset, about the experience, right? It's about that end user experience and what kind of device or what kind of application they have to access communications, right? And so after the redistribution, this is kind of what it looks like. And if you notice, one of the things is all the legacy IPT stuff, or sorry, legacy telephony stuff is gone, right? We were able to get rid of the legacy telephony stuff. We didn't have to ask them to do anything to their existing investment of the phones. We redistributed those phones across the entire enterprise, right? And we put the phones in the most appropriate places, right? So knowledge workers, information workers are able to leverage the Skype for Business and the UC platform that we provide out of Office 365, right? Because they're provisioned in cloud using Cloud PBX, and they're interoperating with their IPT environment, which belongs to task workers, common areas, niche corner scenarios based on the profiling that we would do based on all the stuff that Jamie said, and they'll be able to benefit from that, right? So it's business as usual for the phone users or the phones that are there. You're using a centralized IPT system for that, leave it there, and interop with Skype for Business. And the other thing is that because now we have people enabled for Cloud PBX, and they're leveraging that, you can actually have all the other features for even the people that use the telephony endpoints. So they can join meetings, they can join online meetings that people schedule, the knowledge workers and information workers schedule. They can be part of meeting broadcasts and all the other capability and innovation that we bring from the cloud. So that's kind of an interesting sort of scenario from that perspective. Another one we wanted to quickly talk about was another interesting one. So in this particular case, the customer had an on-premise Skype for Business deployment. They had on-premise servers, and they had enterprise voice configured, connecting to the PSTN. But they also had a trusted application pool. This is basically leveraging the APIs in the Skype for Business platform to develop a business process app. And in this particular case, it was an approvals app that they needed, right? And so this is a very on-premise-like thing, right? Our APIs are very, very rich, and people are developing lots and lots of applications for it. There's a lot of contact center-like applications also developed for it and so on. So you can imagine that this would be one of those particular things. And so they wanted to move to the cloud. And they asked us, what do we do? We've got this application that's kind of critical to our business. We've invested in it. It works really well, and we want to sort of keep that around. But that capability may not be available if we move to the cloud. So we talked to them a little bit about this. And obviously, it turns out that most of the users, or all of their users, can be moved to the cloud. And they can leverage PSTN calling. But they can still operate in a hybrid scenario where they leave that existing on-premise pool as it is, they leave that trusted application server as it is, and that all works just fine in that hybrid environment. One of the great things about Skype for Business is this deployment flexibility. It exists so that we can leverage that kind of scenario. We can leverage those kinds of investments that our customers have made. So if you think about what they look like for them in the past, all the users were on-premise, manageability was on-premise, all the functionality that they would get was on-premise. And they had all the entire stack. They had voice and everything deployed. And then when we asked them to move, we just moved their users in the cloud. We enabled them for PSTN calling. So single place to manage all of their stuff from Skype for Business, but also have the capability of having hybrid for an on-premise pool and that trusted application, right? Now, in a contact center scenario, you can imagine if you profiled it, as Jamie was mentioning, the contact center agents could still be on-premise, but all your other users for the organization could be in the cloud, enabled for PSTN calling, right? So you could split those users that way, depending on what that application is. In this particular case, there was no users assigned to it, so all the users moved away. So there's a lot of possibilities to be able to do that. So when Jamie talks about profiling, this scenario will help you profile and put users where they belong, or where they're suited to the most. So those are the scenarios that I wanted to talk about. I'm gonna hand it back to Jamie to kind of sum up what we discussed.
Absolutely, thank you, Tamer. No, these are fantastic. Like, there's lots and lots of examples where we are starting to do this in our work with customers. And we kind of think about it in these ways, that the usage profile, defining a distinct set of users that doesn't necessarily map to their physical location. As Tamer said in that first example, these were users that were distributed across the enterprise, right? But not only were we able to, in that case, provide a significant improvement in their capabilities, we also were able to retain a lot of that big investment in handsets. And you know, so there's kind of this double ROI here that we were able to look at. Those usage profiles, they all, in many cases, adopt at a unique pace, right? So, you know, when we think about you know, contact center, that may be the last one to move, but clearly those users in collaboration have tremendous opportunity today to be able to move in. And you know, fundamentally, what that means is look at deploying Cloud PBX to fit those users' profiles. Think about deploying Skype for Business to fit those users' requirements for communication services, and then expand over time. And so this is kind of one way to view this. And so now I'm using circles to describe here deployment size. So understand that with any graph you lie here a little bit. And so I'm not actually saying that I'm not defining this by the area of the circle, because if you knew any math, you know the area of the circle is, you know, increases in greater proportion to the radius. But you can think about, you know, first starting off with those collaborator, the on-site mobile folks, then adding in field mobility, you know, scenarios, you know, into that, then adding in more of the production on-site mobile type scenarios where there's more requirements to integrate deeply into line of business applications. And then finally thinking about what it means to deploy into the contact center. And one of the cool things about this type of model is that the returns that you can receive in the first step then help fund the investments that you make going forward. And then by the time you're done, you've had this entire project essentially kind of self-funded by each successive step that you're having more and more value, you're bringing more and more value out to the business. And so with that, that concludes our session about communications profiles and applying those to Office 365 and Skype for Business Online. Again, as always, with all the sessions that we have here at Microsoft Ignite, we love to get your feedback, both for the folks that are here in the room and for the folks that are online. For the folks that are online, we're gonna go ahead and call it now. We can hit the recording. And for the folks that are in the room, we got a couple minutes left and love to be able to take any questions that you have up here at the front. Again, thanks so much for coming out to Ignite. Just a couple sessions left. You're almost there. And thanks again. Appreciate it, everybody.